Hi, welcome to Shelley's Show and Tell audio series. Thanks so much for joining me. I hope you enjoy this audio that includes things I've learned along the way during my 30-year career as an esthetician. I'll share things that I feel helped me when I started my business, and also things that helped me grow my successful skincare business. These are in no particular order, just off the top of my head as I started to write. Here we go. Let's pretend for a moment that we're in a room together, you and I. Now, raise your hand if you love being an esthetician. I should see your hand way up high and proud. Passion is the first step to being successful, and you can't fake passion. You either have it or you don't, and those who have it will more likely be successful. You've most likely heard that if you do what you love for a living, you will be successful, and I truly believe that. Okay, another raise of your hand. This time, though, I don't want you to just automatically raise it up. I want you to take a second to think about it and be really honest with yourself. Are you having fun being an esthetician? Really? Are you truly having fun? Are you excited to get up each morning? Do you enjoy your time with your clients? Is it fun creating new treatments to offer your clients? If you are truly having fun, your appointment book should reflect that, and you should be absolutely swamped with clients. People are attracted to the energy of passion and playfulness. They want to be around it. I would actually rather see you have super positive energy than know all the technical terms there are to know in our industry. It's much more beneficial to be positive and happy than it is to be extremely book savvy, touting language that the clients perhaps don't even understand, and then have low, passive energy. Clients don't want to be around that. Let's chat a minute about having fun and being playful. I kind of think we take ourselves too seriously at times. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean that what we do is not serious business. I'm not saying to take the professionalism out of your demeanor. I'm just saying have some fun with it. Be a little lighter about it. There's been some controversy about me referring to our aesthetic equipment as toys. A while back, I received an email from an esthetician that said she was turned off by my use of the word toys. She felt that using that phrase minimized our profession. She stated, and I quote, that she holds herself to the highest standards and uses the utmost professional language when conversing with her clients and colleagues. Then she asked me to consider stopping the use of that verbiage. Now, when I was young and moaning and groaning about something someone else was doing, my mother would say to me, Shelley, to each his own. We are each entitled to our own thoughts, opinions, and ideas. I can appreciate this esthetician's opinion, but if it bothers you that much, just don't follow me. In my mind, I'd like to say to her, lighten up a little bit. Be a little more playful. The use of the word toys came about because I have so much fun in this industry. I feel playful creating treatments for my clients, finding and testing new pieces of equipment for my fellow estheticians, thinking up new marketing ideas, creating these audios and also my videos. It's fun for me. I truly enjoy it each and every day. Now, do I refer to the equipment I'm about to use in the treatment room on a client as a toy to that client? Of course not. As our esthetician friend stated, I use the utmost professional language when conversing with my clients. There's a time and place for everything, right? So let's talk about how you're showing up for your business. Are you letting the universe know that you're serious about being successful? Or are you running in at the last minute and frazzled when your client arrives? Does your schedule run behind, causing the next client to have to wait for you? Do you bring your personal problems into the treatment room with you? Do you follow through with answers to questions for your clients, or do you drop the ball? Are you well-groomed, or is your style disheveled and messy? How's your skin look? Do you represent this industry well? In other words, do you walk the talk? We must be grounded and present to maintain a successful business, and also, our looks need to represent the results that we are aspiring to achieve for our clients. Heavy makeup to cover up bad skin isn't going to cut it. Have you ever gone to a new hairdresser and the first thing you do is look at his or her hair? You betcha that's the first thing you do. Same goes for us with our new clients. They're checking out our skin, so we had better represent. When chatting with estheticians and reading posts on forums, I'm hearing that you are wanting very particular, exact step-by-step things to do to grow your business. And I get it. Yes, we need to know things to do. But there's another part of the equation. Let me explain with a story. Years ago, I was working with an esthetician that wanted to take her business to the next level. She numbered off each thing she was doing to help her business grow. And I gotta say, she had her bases covered really well. But then, when I asked her how she was feeling about everything, she told me that she was anxious, frustrated, really nervous about money, and constantly thinking about what else she should be doing. Right there was the missing piece for her. She had done everything just right to set herself up. She was doing all the things she needed to do, but now she needed to stop thinking so much, step back, and just have a little fun with it. And trust. Trust that it will happen. Sometimes I think we get in the way of our own success. So follow the steps of the things you need to do to grow your business, but also pay attention to how you feel, because how you feel does show. What's your body language saying to your clients? Let's talk about this. Think about what someone looks like when they're frustrated and worried. Their body is closed off. They may be humped over slightly. They look tight. The energy around them is non-approachable. Now, picture someone who's happy and trusting that they've got it covered. Business is on its way. No worries here. I'm having fun and life is good. Well, their body language would be more confident. They'd be standing up tall and their energy would definitely be approachable. Be aware of your body language. I did an episode on my radio show with the author Tracy Brown. She wrote the book Mastering Magical Persuasion. Tracy is a body language expert, and I highly recommend reading her book. If I am not new to you, and you've listened to my radio show or read any of my newsletters, you'll know that I talk about this next point time and time again, but it's really worth repeating over and over again. The words you speak are very powerful. This is for real. If you spend your time talking about how slow business is, you will continue to be slow. If you spend your time talking about how scared you are about money, you will continue to have money issues to be scared about. Seriously, it's that simple. You get what you talk about. Let me repeat that. You get what you talk about. Now, I've told this story many times before, but I want my new listeners to hear it, and it's really worth repeating. When I purchased my first skincare center back in 1990, I was slow. I mean, really, really slow. But anytime a client would come in and ask me how I was doing, the answer was always, "Fabulous, business is booming and I couldn't be happier." Even if it was Thursday and she was my first client of that week, everything was still fabulous. Don't tell it like it is. Tell it like you want it to be. Let me repeat that as well. Don't tell it like it is. Tell it like you want it to be. Here's another story that I've told before, but again, it's worth repeating. If you were a fly on the wall at my house, you would think that my husband and I had lost our minds. A few years ago, he and I started talking continuously about how we wanted things to be. We would sit and have conversations every day about the big, beautiful home that we own, the fabulous parties we were throwing, the types of cars we had in our multi-car garage, and how my training business was booming and how I'm a household name to all my fellow estheticians. We talked in the present like we were living all of that right now, right this minute. Well, the truth of the matter was that at that time, we lived in a 950 square foot townhouse that we rented. For a short while, we only had one car, and we definitely didn't throw any parties because there was barely enough room for the two of us, and hardly anyone in the aesthetic world knew who Shelley Hancock was. But we kept talking every single day. It actually became like a fun game to sit and chat about this fabulous life we were living. Now, changes didn't happen overnight. We had to learn patience and also learn to be consistent. You can't do something for just 2 weeks and then say, "Where's my stuff? It's not here. This doesn't work. I give up." No, you have to continue to believe. So today, we live in a brand new big home, big enough to have a fabulous party for more than two guests. We've got two really nice cars, and while I'm not a household name yet, there are a lot more estheticians that know who I am. All of this was because we told our story like we wanted it to be, not like it was. We continue to stay focused on what's next, what we want to create now. We also are very happy and grateful each day for what we do have right now. If you think and talk about how things are at the moment, you will get more of how things are at the moment. If you like the way things are, then fabulous. But if you want to change them, you need to talk about what that change looks like. Keep focused on what you want. Here's a fun quote that will give you an idea of what I'm talking about. It's from Abraham Hicks, one of my favorite mentors. Here it is. We practice the art of allowing, which means reaching for the thought that feels best, not the thought that is the real thought, not the thought that is telling it like it is. Telling it like it is only holds you where it is. Damn it, I'm gonna tell it like it is. I'm gonna tell it like it is because everybody wants me to tell it like it is. Well, tell it like it is if you like it like it is, but if you don't like it is, then don't tell it like it is. Tell it like you want it to be. If you tell it like you want it to be long enough, you will begin to feel it like you want it to be. And when you feel it like you want it to be, it bees like you want to be. I love that one. It's kind of a fun way to explain this concept. Okay, changing gears a little. I'd only been an esthetician a year and a half when I purchased my first skincare center back in 1990, and I became what I consider super successful. Why? Well, first of all, I had that passion that we talked about a little earlier, and secondly, I was really present every single day, emotionally and physically. I went to my center every day, whether I had a client or not. I wanted to be there just in case the phone rang. I wanted to be there just in case someone happened to stop by. I wanted to be there to show the universe that I was really serious about this. I mean business. I am going to be successful. Cell phones were around back then, but not in the way that they are now. Back then, people weren't at the mall and still answering a business phone call. I personally feel like it's been part of the downfall of some business owners. No complete focus on business during business hours. I cannot tell you how many times I've called an esthetician back that's left me a message, and when she picks the phone up, I can clearly tell that she's lunching with the girls or shopping or doing something that has nothing at all to do with her business. Her mind is not focused on business, but yet I hear many complaints about how slow business is. And here's something that I'll never understand. Answering the phone during a treatment. This happens a lot when I return phone calls and it just blows my mind. Oh, hi, Shelley. Can I call you back in a little bit? I'm in the middle of a facial. What is your phone even doing in the treatment room with you? If you cannot answer the phone in a professional manner with all of your attention, do not answer. Let it go to voicemail. What if I was a potential client? Lost. You just lost the opportunity to impress a new client. You only get one chance to make a good first impression. So let's stay on the phone subject and chat about your phone voice. This really is your chance to make a good first impression, and if it's not a good one, well, you've lost them at the get-go. Does your voice sound flat and monotone? Are you talking so loud that they have to hold the phone away from their ear? Or too soft? They can barely hear you? Do you sound depressed? Like the weight of the world's on your shoulders? Or are you speaking so fast that it's really hard to understand? Speaking in warp speed is not a good thing. Be very aware of your phone voice when answering the phone and during the conversation with your client. Also, make sure your outgoing message is pleasant and informative. Not too long, though. You don't want to lose them while you ramble on. Answer the phone with a smile on your face. They can hear your smile. Try it. It works. Even if your world is crumbling in around you, always answer a business call with a smile. Here's a good one. If you're dealing with a difficult client, stand up while you're talking. It gives you a feeling of confidence, and you will most likely handle that call much better. One more thing on this subject. Please, please be sure to clear your mailbox so when someone calls you, they can leave a message. A full mailbox is sadly way too common. If I was a potential client and heard, "The mailbox is full," I wouldn't try to call back later. Hearing that makes me feel that that esthetician is not serious about her business matters, so how's she going to be with my face? This literally happened about 2 days ago. I called back an esthetician that had left me a message about an issue she was having with a piece of equipment, and she stated that she needed my attention immediately. When I called back immediately, the mailbox was full. I called back again the next day, and again the mailbox was full. She must not have needed me that immediately, or she would have made sure the lines of communication were open. Let's talk about listening. I've always become very aware of this subject when working at trade shows. A very large percentage of people that I chat with during the 2 or 3 day show will ask me a question and then interrupt me 4 words into the answer. On day 1 and day 2, my patience level is good, so it doesn't affect me too much. But by day 3, I gotta tell you, I find myself getting really frustrated. It's a big waste of my time if you're not going to listen. How are you going to get the answer to your question if you don't stop long enough to listen? This also happens quite a lot during phone conversations. The person I'm speaking with will ask a question, and instead of stopping to listen for the answer, they'll continue to ramble on for another minute or two, kind of trying to answer their question for themselves. I don't know. I'm not even really sure what they're trying to get across, so I just sit there until they talk themselves out. But what comes to mind when this happens is, are these people listening to their clients, or do they prefer the sound of their own voice? People love to feel like they're being heard. To create that relationship, that strong bond that keeps those clients coming back, you must learn how to stop and listen. There's a great part in the movie Creed. Rocky Balboa was training Apollo Creed's son, and the son kept interrupting as Rocky was trying to teach him. Rocky told him to stop and listen, and then he said something to him that actually made me stop the movie so I could write it down. He said, "As long as you're talking, you're not learning." I thought, wow, this is really profound, and we should all keep this in mind in business and in our personal lives. As long as we're talking, we're not learning. How can we learn about someone if we're talking over them or interrupting them all of the time? How can we learn about something as long as we keep talking and don't take the time to listen to the answers? This is really good stuff to keep in mind. Years ago, an esthetician rented a room for me in my day spa. When she decorated her room, 2 walls were completely covered with certificates from classes she had taken. I mean completely, top to bottom. You couldn't even see the wall. I gotta tell you, I was actually a bit intimidated by all of that. I'm thinking, ooh, she must really know her stuff. Look at all these certificates. But over the next couple of months, I watched her interact with clients and there was a disconnect. No warmth, no excitement, no I really care about you feelings coming from her. She lasted only 3 months and had to shut down. My point? She knew her stuff. She was book smart, but clients couldn't connect with her, so they didn't come back. That's why I feel that it's much more important to learn how to connect with people than it is to collect certificates. We become psychologists in the treatment room, don't we? Her clients lay down on that table and boy, do the stories just come spilling out. I could do a whole show on the stories I've heard over my 30-year career. Our clients come to us to get away from the world for a bit, right? So keep our conversations light, or better yet, take your cue from the client. If she's quiet, then you should be quiet as well. If she's chatty, let her chat away, but if it's negative stuff, do your best to steer her toward the positive. Instead of helping her go deeper into the muck, ask her questions about how she would like things to be. Don't feed into it by encouraging her or agreeing with her. Politely steer her in another direction. Get her thinking about the positive aspects of life. She may not thank you right away, but you are doing her a big favor. Chances are that she's probably so used to being in the muck that if you take her out of the muck, she'll leave feeling so good, and she probably won't even really know why she's feeling so good, but she will want to come back for more. What is one of the first things you do when a new client comes to see you? You have them sign a consent form. Never, ever pass up this important step. I've been fortunate enough to have been in business for 30 years now and have never even come close to a bad situation. But having that consent form signed is your first line of defense. Your second line of defense is to listen to your gut. You know that saying, "I had a gut feeling." Somehow our guts know the truth. We tend to not listen to our guts at times because our heads get in the way. Here's a couple of stories that have come to my attention, and if these estheticians had listened to their guts, they wouldn't be in the predicament they're in. Story number one, an esthetician was being sued by a client that said one LED treatment caused her to get a detached retina. Now, I feel badly that this client is having this medical issue, but I hardly believe that one LED treatment caused this. Two things this esthetician did not do. She was given a heads up by family members of this client that this gal can be difficult. Right there would have had me seeing flashing warning lights on high beams. That's important information coming from a family member. And then secondly, the esthetician did not have her sign a consent form. A big no-no. After speaking with this esthetician, she told me that she had a gut feeling about not working on this client, but she pushed it aside. Story number two. A client has a reaction around the eyes to a very light manual exfoliation and a flash glycolic peel. The client ended up going to her physician to have it checked out. Now, the first bit of info I got out of the esthetician was that this client had a sensitivity around her eyes years ago with another product. So we already know that this client's eye area is very sensitive. The esthetician's plan at first was to only do the exfoliation, but at the last minute, she decided to add the peel even though her gut was telling her not to. I spent quite a bit of time on the phone calming this esthetician down because she was worried about being sued. Had she listened to her gut, well, you know the rest. So, do our guts know? You betcha they do. So take the time to stop and listen to them. Actually, here's another story where nothing came of it, but it's a good lesson for all of us. A client came in to see an esthetician, and this client hadn't been in for quite some time, and they were having fun chatting and catching up. The esthetician did her usual treatment on this client that included some microcurrent. The client loved her treatment, they hugged, and the client left. About an hour later, that client calls in a bit of a panic and says, "Oh, I forgot to tell you that I had a pacemaker put in since the last time I saw you." My first thought is, how in the world do you forget to mention something that big? They both had a moment of panic before calling her physician. He said not to worry about it this one time, but don't do it again. Now, we don't need to have our clients sign a new consent form each time they come in, but we do need to take a moment to check in, to ask if anything has changed since their last appointment. One of the common emotions I hear when working with my fellow estheticians is doubt or fear. They doubt that the clients will show up. They doubt that those clients will return. They doubt that the piece of equipment they want to purchase will bring in money. Oh, so much doubt whirling around, no wonder business isn't going well for some people. Here's a statement that I really love, and the first time I read it, I realized that this is exactly what I do. Nobody taught me to do this, but for some reason, I've always done it. Here's the statement. Doubt is something that I do not entertain while attempting a project, because I believe nothing is impossible. Let me say that again. Doubt is something that I do not entertain while attempting a project because I believe nothing is impossible. I got to thinking about how I feel when I'm about to introduce a new piece of equipment to my clients. Doubt about my success never enters my mind. I am so excited about what I'm introducing, almost a childlike excitement, that failure is literally not in my vocabulary. I have always made my investments back immediately. The Radiancy FSD was in 5 days. My oxygen machine, 1 day. Was that because I am an awesome esthetician that knows everything there is to know about skincare? No, it's because I am so focused on success that failure does not even enter my thought process one teeny tiny little bit. Try it. You will be amazed at how your life begins to change when you let go of doubt. We all have challenges each and every day, and some of them can really leave us feeling out of balance and off track with our usual positive way of being. Those of you that know me know that I believe in looking for the positive in things and not wallowing in the muck for more than a few seconds, but sometimes in life, we're challenged to see if we can practice what we preach. Sometimes these challenges are a little tougher, or a lot tougher, and they stop us in our tracks and have us taking a good look at ourselves and how we react to things. I'll be honest with you, there are times when I go through the whole gamut of emotions. Anger, hurt, betrayal, revenge, oh, I could go on. But when I stop and really check in, I realize that none of these emotions are going to serve me. A closed heart and mind will only block the positive from coming to me. Here's the tricky part, though. When we're knee-deep in the muck, and it feels like such a long drudge to get out of it, how do we start? What do we do to turn it around when we feel so lost? The first thing I do is start counting my blessings. I mark off each person, place, and thing in my life that I'm grateful for. My spirit immediately begins to soar. The next thing I do is begin to look at the lesson to be learned. There is always a bigger picture, even if we can't see it at the moment or can't imagine that there could possibly be one. Just knowing that can bring immediate relief. Here's what Ann Landers has to say about trouble, and I like this. If I were asked to give what I consider the single most useful bit of advice for all humanity, it would be this: expect trouble as the inevitable part of life, and when it comes, hold your head high, look it squarely in the eye, and say, I will be bigger than you. You cannot defeat me. I love that one. Okay, here are a few more thoughts that may sound like common sense and maybe even a little bit silly, but they really do make a difference, so they're worth talking about. There are times when I spend the day with an esthetician doing what I call a jumpstart event for a piece of equipment that she wants to purchase. We'll take a lunch break and have a quick bite to eat. I can't tell you how many times that esthetician has gone back to working on her client without brushing her teeth. The last thing you want to hear from your client is, wow, I bet that tuna fish sandwich you had for lunch was good. Okay, I'm being playful, but seriously, you guys, that's not cool. I really, really feel like the work that we do, you need to brush your teeth after you eat. It's an absolute must. Let's talk about client no-show complaints that I hear about quite often. I've never had a problem with this because I always call my client the day before to confirm. In fact, if it gets too late in the day and my clients haven't heard from me yet, they'll call to see if everything's okay. It only takes a second to pick up the phone or send an email or nowadays send a text, and it's well worth not ending up sitting there by yourself with an empty time slot. In fact, with all the technology now, there's no excuse. Sometimes when I'm training an esthetician on a piece of equipment, her hands look, well, awkward. She's unaware that the cord is falling over her client's forehead, or she's grabbing her client's jaw really tight and she turns her head really super rough. It just doesn't look relaxing. You've got to be aware of how things feel to the client because the way you touch them can make or break how they feel about returning to you in the future. What's your treatment room look like? Does it have a calming effect when a client walks in there, or is there stuff everywhere? Are things neat and clean and orderly? I travel around a lot and see quite a few treatment rooms, and oh my, I wouldn't want to be the client walking into some of them. I realize that we have a lot of products and equipment, but there just has to be a way to organize it where it looks tidy. The way your treatment room looks is another opportunity to make a good impression. Okay, this one may sound really silly, but have you ever walked into a restroom where the wastebasket is full or it's even spilling over, and then the whole room just feels dirty because of this? As you walk past your bathroom during the day, take a quick peek inside and make sure everything looks tidy. It only takes 2 seconds to empty your wastebasket when you see it overflowing. Now let's stay in the bathroom for one more minute. I have this thing about the toilet seat being left up. I'm not talking about the whole seat like when a guy goes in there. I'm talking about just the lid. It just looks so much nicer when a client walks in and the lid is down. I actually read quite a few years ago in a feng shui book that when you leave the toilet lid up, the good energy flows out and the bad energy comes in. That right there should be enough to make you want to put that lid down. I do a quick look in the bathroom each time after a client's been in there. Okay, back to the serious stuff. One of my radio show episodes was about finding your professional identity. My guest was Regina Tucker. If you haven't heard that show, please take a minute and have a listen. It was really good. We talked about finding your niche, which I think is important and can help you stand out from the crowd, but I don't want you to get stuck in a slump or be afraid of trying new things. One of the things my skincare clients have said to me throughout the years is, Shelly, you always have something new and exciting for us to try. We can't let ourselves or our business get stagnant. This industry is ever-changing, and if you don't change with it, your clients may just head down the street to the spa that is staying up with the latest technologies. So if your niche is acne, then have the latest and greatest acne clearance treatments there is to offer. If your niche is anti-aging, well, There are some great modalities nowadays for anti-aging, and you better have at least one of them to be noticed, to be worth coming back to each month. If waxing is your thing or spray tanning, then be knowledgeable about the newest techniques for doing these services. You get my point, right? And don't be afraid to throw in something new every now and then and then spice things up. Back in the 90s, when I was growing my first skincare business, I did some really fun things for my clients, like fashion shows, glamour photo shoots. Color analysis was huge back then, and they loved that. We did the makeovers according to their season, and that's what led to the fashion show and then the photo shoot. It was just fun. I brought in an oxygen bar where they sat in a comfy chair listening to good music through a headset while sucking up fresh air. I had a hydro massage bed. They loved that. Back then was when I actually started bringing in different pieces of facial equipment. Some of it didn't hang around very long. It turned out to be a fad. And then some of it was awesome, and we're still using it to this day. But whatever I tried, I always made my clients feel like they were helping me, like they were a part of my journey to find the next big thing. They would get discounts to be among the first to try the new treatment, and I always asked for their feedback to help me make my decision whether it was a keeper or not. They loved being part of something. It kept them interested and connected to me, so they weren't as apt to venture on down the street to another spa. Find your niche, but be creative and have fun. Keep your clients excited about coming to you each month. My husband and I call this one getting caught up. Getting caught up means that you're not grounded or focused when something is going on around you. You can get caught up in a dreamy way with a new love. Maybe you're so starry-eyed that you don't see the things that in the future are going to bug the heck out of you. That's getting caught up. Here's another example. You're in a good mood, having a great day, and then your best friend calls. For the next 15 minutes, she tells you about how she had yet another fight with her no-good boyfriend, and that her boss didn't give her the raise that she deserved, and how that coworker was talking about her to the other coworker when she walked in the room, and well, you get my point. By the time you get off the phone, you're not in such a good mood anymore. That's getting caught up. Caught up in someone else's bad energy. Let me share a personal getting caught up that happened to me years ago in business, and boy, did I learn my lesson. This happened only a few months after I purchased my first skincare center. I was very green, as they say. One day, a well-dressed man walked into my center and began to tell me about this advertising that all the local merchants were jumping on because it was so phenomenal. He was talking fast, and he was smooth. Before I knew it, I was signing on the dotted line for $950 for this advertising. I had just purchased this business, so that was a lot of money. Shoot, that's a lot of money, period, back then and today. So here's what that advertising was. You know when you go to the grocery store or the drugstore, and when you make your purchase, they give you a receipt? My ad was on the back of that receipt. Now, I had never looked on the back of my receipt when I went to the store, so what made me think that this was such a great marketing idea? That was it. I didn't think. I was caught up. I was caught up in this man's energy. I did not get one single phone call from my $950. That was $950 down the drain. Wasted. Another place we get caught up is at trade shows. It's so exciting there, so much to see, shiny new toys everywhere, and everyone trying to sell you something. The first time I took my husband to a trade show back in 2003 was in Las Vegas, and we came home with a $15,000 hydro massage bed. They had two beds side by side, and we both hopped on and sunk into the warmth and the jets flowing up and down our spines. Within a couple of minutes, we turned and looked at each other with this look of, oh, this is awesome. We had no intention of spending that kind of money. We were definitely not grounded and definitely not focused. We got caught up to the tune of $15,000. Now, at my Shelley Show and Tell workshops, I even talk about this at the end of the day when everyone's getting ready to make their purchases. My attendees may be very caught up in my excitement of telling them all about my toys, and they want to whip out that credit card and get everything. As much as that would please me, I prefer not to have any estheticians with buyer's remorse, so I always tell them to take a few days and think it through. It can mean big money mistakes in business when we get caught up, so please don't let that happen to you. One last thing, and it's a big one. Gratitude. It is so powerful. Try spending more time every day being thankful for what you do have and no time whatsoever complaining about what you don't have. The more gratitude you show, the more things you will get to be grateful for. So if you only have one client today and it's just a quick lip wax, do not complain about having just one client. Be grateful for this client. Say a silent thank you for her business. Thank you for this income. Pretty soon, you'll have two and then three and then four clients to be thankful for. Try it. It really works. So take a moment and check in to see where you may not be showing up fully in your career. There could be just one little thing you can tweak, and it ends up making all the difference in the world to how successful you are. Challenge yourself and see how things change. Okay, that's all I've got for you today. I want to thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's snippet, and I also hope that you learned a thing or two. Please feel free to share your thoughts and ideas with me. Email me at contactme@shellyhancock.com. And remember, that's Shelly with an EY. Please tune back in for more exciting adventures on Shelly's Show and Tell Snippets. I'm your host, Shelly Hancock. Until next time, be well and be happy.